Abbey Road Records Show.
Heavy metal, rock and roll is always going to be with us. Day after day, year after year, it's never going to die.
Who likes rock and roll? Yeah!
Abbey Road Records Show.
Put down the boxing gloves and try and just get it together.
Well, hey, Laba! Somewhere over the eastern side of California sits me and AD sipping Jack and Cokes on a Southwest flight to San Jose. Yes, we are on the road again with Louis Prima Jr., doing a few shows in Northern California before traveling back east to play a gig at Nelson Hall Theater in Cheshire, Connecticut, on November 7th. Nice tour routing, Louis. So we have another installment of Super Segments for y'all. This week we are celebrating songs that are just dumb enough to be great. They are aggressively horny, juvenile, and stupid. But we sure love talking about them. Join us on these Super Segments and let's lower our collective IQs. First up, my mystery box was horny on episode 102, Carnal Sanders. Meaning I brought bands with horn sections. But the track that we're going to hear is hilariously randy. I've never heard a guy get himself so frothed up, yelling into the mic about how he's going to get it on. And really, there ain't a damn thing you can do about it. After that, AD takes us to episode 64, The Tragedy of Bedtime Bone, where he plays an Australian band that quickly became a shabby favorite, the legendary Skyhooks, who are responsible for the word be-boobed. Before we present our own shabby-branded idiocracy, let's do something smart. Let's go to alltheworldsofstage.net, our beloved sponsor. Over there, you can get all your band's merch printed up for you. Low prices and high quality. Not like that Kiss stuff that falls apart minutes after you open the package. No, this is the good stuff. Show your fans that you care about them and their satisfaction. Show them that you're not just after their wallet. I'm looking at you, Gene Simmons. Poke around on alltheworldsofstage.net and check out all the possibilities. Stuff that even Kiss hasn't thought of. You know, that should be their new tagline. Alltheworldsofstage.net. Stuff that Kiss hasn't even thought of. Okay, thanks for listening. We love you, Shabby Academy. Now let's get stupid. But anyway, let's draw to see who goes first, right? We got the two playing cards. Ricky's got them behind his back, a red and a black.
Lisa has them.
Lisa's got them.
Oh, it's a trick.
She's throwing them out of a plane. And whichever one lands first. Let's see. Who should pick
there? The other one landed on a cactus.
Well, Ricky, why don't you pick left or right?
Okay. I'm going to go right.
Right. Black, it's me.
Oh.
All right. Let's crack open my horny box.
All right. What you got, Mr. Horny? You'll be here 4 hours. You go home now, Mr. Horny.
How many people can we offend in the first 5 minutes of the show?
Most of them.
Are there any ethnicities that we missed?
Oh, don't worry. I'll be ripping Americans to shreds later.
Excellent.
Yeah, lady.
Thanks a lot. So we're going to go to Epic Records. Epic Records Recording Artists, 1971. A record that is just a wild ride. Everybody needs to hear this record at least once. I'm speaking of the great band called Chase.
All right.
Do you know
like my brother, Chase?
Chase, yeah. Did your brother have a band called Chase?
Maybe. He's got a bank.
Wow, nice. We're loaded.
Right?
We're going to hear a song called Get It On. Get It On in the Morning.
What?
Do you know anything
there's
about this?
There's a lot of those cocksuckers in
there's
this band.
There's a lot of dudes in the band,
there's
Chase.
There's 45 Chases in this band.
Well, there's three trumpet players in this band. Now, this is all spearheaded by the virtuoso trumpet player, Bill Chase. That's where they get their name. Who played with a lot of jazz greats in the 50s and 60s before launching into his own band here, which is more of a rock and roll flavored thing, like Blood, Sweat, and Tears kind of thing.
Yeah.
Bill played with Maynard Ferguson, who's another trumpet player who's amazing. And then he was a big influence on Bill as well, Maynard Ferguson was. And Bill also played with a jazz pianist, Stan Kenton. Great piano player Stan Kenton, clarinet player Woody Herman for Woody and pianist. Yes. So he had a pianist and a guy named Woody.
I'm in fifth grade.
I know, right? You were 12, perpetually 12.
In 1971, Bill forms his own band, calls him Chase, and he puts together a 9-piece band featuring 3 more trumpet players and a traditional rock rhythm section, drums, bass, guitar, big old B3 organ, and the big voice of Terry Richards is singing.
It's Terry Richards?
Yeah, he
never heard that name.
He might know him just from this. The single "Get It On," the song that I'm going to play, it hits the charts and it stays in the charts for 13 weeks. This is a very successful record for what it is, being a
"Get It On." That was a Kingdom Come song, wasn't it?
It was, and a T-Rex. Yeah,
right? Yeah.
It stays in there for forever. It hits number 22 on the charts. The album does, and nearly goes gold, which is not bad for a jazz rock album. And I hesitate to call it jazz fusion, although that's kind of what you see it listed as. This is more Blood, Sweat, and Tears type of thing.
Right.
You know this song.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not recognizing it by the title.
Oh, you don't know the name of the band, Chase? This is an album that Ted Schumacher from the Louis Prima Band turned me on to. We listened to it one night, and I had no idea. I didn't know anything about him.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. The horn players are off the charts. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, the highest notes you've ever heard come out of a trumpet.
So will I know this song? I
mean, you know this song.
Okay.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's a big, you know, it's got the big B3, got guitars, and it's got the horn lines, and just big, big voiced singer in Terry Richards.
That was a thing back then, too. The Tom Joneses.
71.
Yeah, David Clayton Thomas.
Yep, very reminiscent of that to me.
Gary Puckett, those guys.
They did a follow-up that wasn't as successful. It was a little more artsy. And after a hiatus, they returned with a 3rd album and a new lineup. And that album's called Pure Music. And that got a lot of positive reviews and features Jim Patrick from Ides of March.
Oh.
That name is not right. My autocorrect changed that. The dude from Ides of March, Jim. It's Petta something.
Yeah. I forget his name. Yeah. That's Vehicle. I'm your Vehicle.
Vehicle, baby.
Baby.
Yeah. Sorry that my autocorrect changed it to Patrick. Interesting. Writing the material, and he sings 2 of the songs on that record, too. So I don't think it was a largely successful record, but it was critically acclaimed. And they began to work on a 4th album, but do you know the history of Chase? You know what happens?
Oh, yeah. I think Ritchie Blackmore fired them all.
No. August 9th, 1974, while en route to a... Oh, thank you.
I'm thinking bus crash, plane crash.
Yep, you got a plane crash. While en route to a scheduled performance at the Jackson County Fair, Bill Chase died in a crash of a chartered twin-engine Piper Twin Comanche in Jackson, Minnesota.
Don't get in those fuckers, man, right? Come on. Those are falling out of the sky like, I don't know what.
Age 39. Also killed was the pilot, Daniel Ludwig, and the co-pilot, Linda Swisher, who was only 26. The keyboard player for Chase, Willie Yon, died. The drummer died, Walter Clark, and the guitarist, John Emma, died as well.
Jesus.
So the band died in a plane crash, basically.
Man.
Now, this was after that personnel change, so the guys on this record were not involved in that crash. Only Bill Chase was the dude that was still going in the band at this time. So, but it was all the 3 new guys that joined the band recently that passed away. So
great, yeah.
Yeah, terrible story.
Bad career move, guys. So I'm guessing he's the guy in the center square here. He's the Paul Linden in the center.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of a Brady Bunch grid, tic-tac-toe board grid.
Yeah, and I guess that's why maybe they didn't, like, maybe you don't know this band too much, but because of them all basically dying in a plane crash. I mean,
man,
a majority
sucks.
Of the band died in it. That's just a crazy story. But let's go back to earlier times here. So we'll check it out. It's side one. It's the last song on side one. It's called Get It On. It was the big single from the record. And it's a cool record. They cover Handbags and Glad Rags, a really cool version of that by Rod Stewart. Side two is a little more adventurous. They kind of do more of a musical suite kind of thing. And but again, the horns are just over the top. I mean, when you drop the needle on side one, track one, you're just hit with the highest notes. It's just Yngwie Malmsteen of trumpets.
What, really?
Oh my God, it's outrageous. It's almost, at times, it's tiresome because it's so much at you. But when they hit on a good song, like their version of Handbags and Glad Rags is really cool. And of course, this single is really cool too. And you're going to hear just exactly what I mean by the crazy horns on this album. But it's really cool. It's worth checking out. You can usually find it at your record store for like $5. And it's
just fun,
especially if you're into horn bands and stuff. You've got to hear this record, Chase. It's a in that community of other horn players, this is a highly regarded record.
So you're saying I'll know this song?
Oh, yeah. It was a hit. It stayed in the charts for 13 weeks. There's no way you don't know this song.
Oh, wow. Okay. 17. That's weird. I don't know the name of the band. So obviously a one-hit wonder to a degree, right?
Yeah, basically a one-hit wonder.
And then the song, I'll, as soon as I hear it, I'll be going,
Yeah.
All right, good.
So let's check it out, man. Go ahead and drop the needle on it from April of 1971 on Epic Records. This is the band Chase from their self-titled debut record, and it's their big single, Get It On. Come on.
I totally remember that song.
Yeah. Get it on in the morning now.
Get it on in the morning now.
That guy.
Just you and me in sweet ecstasy. Like the rain falling and deer's frolicking. He's banging that shit.
There's so aggressively horny.
He's going to fuck something so much and so fast.
I was frightened at the lyrics thinking he's going to fuck me next.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, is he horny?
Yeah. And in the morning, first thing in the morning, he's like, you're not even awake. Get it on in the morning now. And he's just pointing something at you.
At least he says, it's just going to be me and you. Like, well, thank God for that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're not bringing the rest of the members of Chase into the
farm animals or anything.
My God. Angrily horny.
Dude, that's a great, great song. That's not one you hear on those retro radio stations that much.
No, probably because the lyrics are so aggressively sexual.
And then he's just killing that vocal. And the drums.
The bass player.
Bass player's killing it.
Yeah,
Everything's just boom. I'm so fucking horny.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do in that line. I want to make sweet love to you. Oh, I love that song. I can listen to that song again.
Well, I was just saying that I'm going to read the notes to my next pick and then play yours again.
Just keep the Chase record on the table.
Play that thing up there.
All right, yeah.
So is the whole record that good?
It is. I think it is. I mean, it.
Well, I noticed there's different vocalists on different songs.
A couple of the trumpet players take some vocals too. Yeah.
How are the other singers? I mean, because that is vocal. That I love that throaty.
Yeah, they're good. They're very similar, actually. But yeah, it's a little. The horns, as you can tell, they're virtuoso horn players that are just like throwing down, not even holding back. I mean, it's again like Malmsteen or like a Vinnie Vincent. Fucking solo.
That's cool as fuck, though.
And it gets a little tiresome. Like, the very first track, you know, it's like, wow, I'm worn out after that, you know.
Buddy Rich had bands like that in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yes, it was just 60s, over the top. 70s. It's kind of cool, though, if you're into that genre, though.
Oh, yeah. It's worth it alone just for that one song. That one song is perfect.
Oh, yeah. That, I just, while we listened to that, I put that on my Records I Need list.
Nice. And you can find it in any record store. It's the Chase record. It's
Chase.
It's white background, and it's just like they're sprinting across the... the front there, it's out there. They sold a ton of them, you know. They're out there.
It's a great pick, man. Great. What a way to start a show. Get it on in the morning now.
Yeah. Go. I'm going to tell you what.
Make sweet love to you.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sweet love to you.
You have absolutely no choice. No say in the matter. You got no say in the matter.
Well, it's just going to be me and you in ecstasy. and doing ecstasy.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
How dare you?
We're so enjoying the aftermath of our session.
Hal just comes in and just ruins
the afterglow.
The afterglow of getting
zesty.
On.
Yeah.
Zesty.
Zesty session there.
Redeem yourself, AD. Pull something magical out of that box.
I mentioned earlier how I've been tulling myself.
Oh, yes, twice a day and going for the hat trick.
Yeah, absolutely. In the hat trick or in the sock trick.
Oh,
or whatever.
Joe,
you know.
Okay.
Hey. But hey. You don't say that.
You don't say that.
But I found that Skyhooks record.
Oh, is this happening?
Yeah.
Excellent. Skyhooks.
I really like them. So I think we told the story on a different episode how, as a matter of fact, me and BJ Cramp from Rock and Roll texted us and goes, hey, man, great record. Can't get past the vocals. And I agreed with him. I agreed with him on this show.
Yes, you did. Yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, it's awful. It's bloody awful. And and I think I came back another episode and said, you know, if you don't read the lyrics first, it's kind of growing on you. Well, I like Skyhooks.
You do. It's official.
I really like them, man. They're kind of stupid, but they're really cool.
Okay, so now you did some research on them. I'm curious because
the record grew on me. I think it's one of those things where you hear something and you go, no, and then before you put it away, sort of, you know, when you look at a record and go, I won't be seeing you, like Ritchie Blackmore, you shan't be played again.
You're sacking
right? Yeah, and you sack that record for good, and you really don't bring it out much, right?
Yeah.
You've got a few records. We all have a few records like that.
It's absolutely. Like,
and before I put it away, sort of, I was kind of looking for, you know, Slade, SL, Skyhooks. Okay, I'm about to put it on Sensational in between, you know, and I went, I'm going to play it again. And I did. And I played it again and again and again. And I really dig this record. So this is an album
called... Great point, AD, before you go on. Everyone should do that. And so, these days, because of the way we listen to music, maybe it's on your phone or whatever. How many listens does it really take to see if you like a record or not? Because sometimes it's not just one. It could be five or six. And you finally start to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was something compelling about it. And the thing is, I think I said that I really did want to like this record. Mm-hmm. And when I put it on, I didn't. I didn't like it. And I expected to not like it again.
You were so mad.
And I was I was pissed off. And that was another record like Man, you know, that had, you know. I'd picked it up so many times in the 70s, right, and didn't bring it home. And so I was so disappointed. I was disappointed in Skyhooks, and I'm disappointed in Man. And it's been that kind of night for me. But I love this record. It came out July 75. Ego Is Not a Dirty Word is the name of the album. Band's called Skyhooks. This is their second album. They were shockingly brazen. An Australian band from Melbourne.
All right.
And when they first formed, their first album came out, Living in the 70s, came out in October 1974.
I think we skated by it.
We're waiting for Ricky.
Anticipation.
Give us another drop instead.
Just let it go.
This sucks, camel dick!
Thank you.
Just let it go. So, in October 74, when it was released, it started to go a little bit, stalled, and then it took to early 1975. And dude, it soared up the Australian charts, went to number one, and stayed there for 16 freaking weeks. Now, this is the album prior to this.
This is the Living in the 70s.
Yeah,
album.
Living in the 70s
okay.
album.
Okay.
So they came right out of the chute, and they were, again, they their songs were about like drugs and sex and real deviant, and it bothered, you know, the proper Australian people. But at one point in time, it became. Before AC/DC and, you know, people started breaking Olivia Newton-John or whatever, it was the biggest selling album in Australia by an Australian band ever.
Skyhooks.
Like fucking Skyhooks. There's that, right? Yeah. Everybody's going, great, Australia, great.
In case somebody didn't hear the earlier episodes, we should say what they look like in that inside cover.
Oh, well,
because they may not understand why we just keep giggling at it.
Okay, so I'm officially pulling it out because we know. So on the front, of course, it's sort of a cartoon, almost Astro Boy looking cartoon.
Yeah.
Of this punk band. One guy's got this blonde mohawk, sort of shag. Imagine David Cassidy as a blonde with a shag with a skull face.
Okay.
And this other guy with a blue mask on. It's really creepy. But on the back, there's this note. It like looks like the entire back of the album looks like a handwritten note torn out of a notebook from a high school kid. You know, handwritten. And I'm going to get to this in a second, which is fantastic. But then it's a gatefold. And again, this is one of those records like Man that I picked up, put down, picked up, put down.
Yeah.
But then when we were in Florida. Yes. On the last, next to last Louis Prima trip, I found this, and instead of being sealed and shrink wrapped, I was able to open it up and see
and behold
this
picture.
The one of the greatest,
what in the world,
freakiest
is going
looking
on.
Bands in the history of all time, like the Pope of something, the Wolfman victim guy, soccer dude, concerned soccer guy,
concerned.
Yep, this like I don't know wine drinking, cigar smoking, but he'll crack your skull guy. And the king of somebody with tits guy with a beard.
He's good.
Right?
He's got some sort of top on that has large mammary glands.
This is one of the most visually fantastic records of all time. And when I put it on, I was disappointed. It's got the lyrics in the inner sleeve, right? And so I pulled him out. And the first song, side one, track one, is the title track, Ego Is Not a Dirty Word. And they said the word ego like 100 times in it. Like, you got an ego. I got an ego. She, you know, and I'm like, okay, okay. And it turned me off right away, instantly. It was a horrible first track, I think,
okay,
in retrospect. But who am I? Because this, you know what? This fucking record killed it again. Went to number 11 or number one for like 11 weeks on a chart. So, but I was really turned off to it right away. And like our friend BJ said, it's like, man, can't get past the vocals. Hmm. But I listened to it more and more. And as I listened to it more and more, I went, well, that's fucking like Steve Whiteman from Kix. With instead of being with Kix, he's with the New York Dolls in a more kitschy band.
Interesting. Okay.
And I went, okay, it's growing on me. But the last track is a song called You Just Like Me Because I'm Good in Bed. And it's stupid. And it's awesome. It was written by Greg McCanish, one of the guys in the band. And remember we were talking about guys named Duke in Canada?
Yeah.
Well, there's a guy named Duke in Melbourne, Australia, because it was produced by Ross Duke Wilson.
Ooh.
Came out in Mercury Records July 75. This is, like I said, their second album. And this is so worth listening to. Visually... It's just what a great gatefold, great looking album. It's silly, it's stupid, but I gotta read you on the back that handwritten note from a letter from a groupie.
Okay,
you know whether it's real or not, we don't know.
Okay, give it to me.
Dear Skyhooks, I'm not a band mole, but because you are so fantabulous and so groovy, I just thought that I'd drop you guys a short note to let you know that I think off you, off. Spelled off you all day at school, parentheses, yuck, and all night. I can't sleep because I keep seeing Fred was surrounded by hearts in big letters. Right? Okay. Fred is so beautiful, and Greg looks very spunky with the makeup on. But I hope you don't think that I don't love you all. I am writing this letter mostly because I've been thinking and dreaming about all you guys for ages. You all make me feel so good, underlined. I knew that I had to give you guys a memento, so you could see how.
But they can spell memento. Yeah,
they scratch you, right? Which nice. I think is fantastic.
Yeah, that's funny.
A memento, so you could see how much I love you all, and so. Scratched out another word again. A little part of me would always be with you. Skyhooks, skyhooks, skyhooks surrounded in hearts. I would love to be all of your girlfriends, if you know what I mean. But I hope this is enough. Lots of love and hit records. Love, Denise, with millions of X's and O's, right?
Okay, good. Lovely.
Taped to this piece of notebook paper with handwritten is severed finger, a severed bleeding finger.
Whoa. She
is. Well manicured with beautiful red nail polish on it. With a P.S. Look for me at the dance on Saturday. I will wave.
That's great.
This is a record, man, right here. This is a great, great record. They pissed off so many people in Australia that at the launching of in Australia in 70, I believe it was 6, there was a launching of a sort of an independent, not an independent, but a sort of their MTV, sort of We Don't Play By The Rules youth network. And the first song they played on that youth network was this song, You Just Like Me Because I'm Good in Bed. So, dude, let's just let's get to it. Skyhooks, I'm telling you, I'm really falling in love with this record. Give it 2 or 3 shots. You know, let that be a lesson to us all, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Give it a couple of shakes.
Like me cause I'm good in bed. Just like me cause I'm good in bed. Yeah, that's what your girlfriend said. You just like me cause I keep you some bed. You just like me cause I'm good in bed. Cause I'm good in bed.
Yeah, just like your girlfriend said, you just like me because I'm good in bed.
I think I like that. That was fun.
What is that? You know, it's
just dumb enough to be great.
I think so. I did not like it, Sam. I Am, the first time I heard it, and second time I'm like, you know, and then it grew on me, and all the songs are that goofy and silly, but like you said, just doofy enough to dig.
Right.
I don't know, you know.
Just like the cover and the letter and the.
I mean, why do we like the B-52s? What is it about that? There's stuff about them I like. I do like some of the B-50s. Yeah, it's stupid and it's fun.
And it's also not taking itself too seriously.
Right. And I dig that. But you know what? The record buyers in Australia took them serious because they were fucking superstars back then.
That's great. Good for you, Australia.
Yeah, so here's to Skyhooks from the Ego Is Not a Dirty Word album, Mercury 1975. You Just Like Me.
I think we know the title.
You know it.
Hey, guys. A portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is brought to you by alltheworldsastage.net. For all your bands and company merchandise needs, click on alltheworldsastage.net and never pay screen charges for orders of more than 24 items. There are no PMS or flash charges either. alltheworldsastage.net.